Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Way Up North podcast. This is the podcast series where we get to know the people behind the biggest names in wedding photography and wedding cinematography. My name is Jenny Hamar, a Stockholm-based photographer who will host this round of conversations. I hope that you'll keep listening today and get to know Tim Twinham of Velair. Tim is such a true artist, and his background in music and how he incorporates his past into the work he does is inspiring. He's humble and clever and super interesting. So enjoy. This is Tim from Colorado.
Yeah.
Good to see you. Oh, there we go. I can see myself now.
You can hear me good and everything?
I can hear you. I can hear you perfectly. Can you hear me okay?
I do indeed.
Okay, does this improve things if I talk like this?
I don't think that improved anything.
Yeah, I don't think. I've been using this microphone that Cole sent me, and I don't think it's even working. It's like, I probably should have installed it or something. Anyways, I don't recognize you from the photo since it will
no
because it's like a profile. Let's see.
Oh no! Oh, I don't have very many good photos of me.
Yeah, no, there it is. Okay, there you are. It is you.
It's the hat. You have to have the hat on.
Yeah, the sideways. Hat's on. Do you always wear a hat like that?
You know, it is. Yeah, I don't have a lot of hair, but it's not out of like insecurity about not having hair. I just always wear hats, I guess. I like hats.
It's like a trucker hat, right? Or what do you call that?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's what you call it.
What does it say? Topo Designs?
Oh, yeah, it's a clothing company in Colorado where I live.
Okay, so you're in Colorado now. I actually was not sure just that you're...
Yeah, I'm just outside of Denver, Colorado.
Okay, cool. Is that where you're from?
It is, yeah. I grew up about 45 minutes north of here, and then after high school, I moved around a little bit. But when I got married about 6 years ago, we moved back here to Colorado.
Okay, so what happened between... How old are you, by the way?
I just turned 30.
You did?
Yeah. Like, massively depressing.
Okay. Why is that depressing? Congratulate or like happy belated birthday, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a birthday person. I don't really care about birthdays, but 30 felt a little weird.
Yeah.
It's not 20 anymore, I guess. I have to start acting like an adult, apparently. So they say.
That's what they say. And when was your birthday?
Well, it was April, so I say just. It feels like it was just, but I guess it's been quite a while.
You're on the 30th year, at least.
Yeah, yep.
Well, at least you're not turning 40 like I am in a few days.
Oh, well, happy birthday in a few days.
Thanks. I feel a little bit the same. Actually, I'm getting there. I'm kind of getting a little bit more excited, but it does feel like it's like a looming, I don't know, those like... decade birthdays like wow, that first number changes and you're just like makes you feel old. So
what did you learn in your 30s? What was your biggest takeaway in your 30s?
Yeah. 30s were huge for me. I mean, like, and I guess that's why I feel like it's not even that depressing. I learned so much. I like seriously about myself, about my family, about like really big stuff that I was did not even know was happening. When I was 30 years old, I had no idea I was going to be this much smarter and cooler when I was turning 40.
Yeah, so there's hope for me in 10 years. Hope. Smarter and cooler.
Yeah, it's true. I actually do feel like I have got a lot of insight into my 30s.
Cool.
Yeah, and actually. Most people I know would say the same thing. Like, this is kind of when you hit, you're like, okay, I totally kind of know who I am. This is a cool, a good age. So,
yeah.
Okay. Fear not.
A okay, I'll take that hope with me into the next years.
Yeah, because what are you going to say when you're like, I feel so old, and someone's like, yeah, thanks. Thanks for that pun. Anyways, you're very punctual, which is, I appreciate that.
Oh, that yeah. Sorry it took a while to line up.
No, not at all. I'm kind of an administrative mess myself, so I feel like you just worked really well.
Okay.
So tell me about Tim. No, I'm just kidding. Who is Tim? And talk in the third person.
Well, Tim's a pretty cool dude. No, what do you want to know?
Yeah, like how did you, it seems like you haven't always been into wedding films. So does that mean you have like a life before wedding industry?
Yeah, I wonder if there's a life after wedding industry.
Nope.
There was a life before, but I'm curious if there's one after. I was a full-time musician. I played music since I was 10 and always had sort of the rock star dream.
Really?
And when I was 20 years old, I got my first professional gig. I had always played in bands with friends and just small stuff, but I got my first professional gig and moved to Nashville, Tennessee, which is kind of a huge music hub in States. And so, yeah, started living that dream. And it was wild and fun and a good time. And it was kind of what I had always wanted to do. And after about 4.5, almost 5 years of doing that, just kind of came to the realization that it wasn't what I wanted to do the rest of my life.
Okay.
And I still love playing music, but as far as it being how I pay my bills, I think part of it had something to do with getting married and just sort of like trying to have a longer outlook ahead of me on my career path. And I always took photos just for fun, and I was a hobbyist in video in high school. I used to make snowboard videos with my buddies in Colorado, and but I never owned my own equipment, and so I probably was, oh shoot, this must have been, I was like 23 or 24, and I bought an old Canon Rebel camera and just started playing with it for music reasons. I was trying to take some photos for a music gig that I had. And anyways, I flipped the video mode on and I started taking video, and I just never flipped it back to photos. I just fell in love with the craft of making films. I think there's so many parallels between making films and making music. They're very, very similar crafts. And so the mind kind of already was existing in that space.
So what kind of parallels, like, for instance, what are you thinking
of? Yeah, I mean, man, you know, you see a movie, you see a film, and the credits are very long. There's a lot of people involved. So there's a lot of different aspects of making a film, a little bit different in weddings because you kind of wear all those hats. But my happiest place, I would say the part of the process that I most enjoy is editing, is post-production. And as a musician, I was a drummer. And I think that video editing and drumming are so similar. It's about timing and dynamics and when to speed up, when to slow down. Not necessarily just cutting on a beat, like having the rhythm, but just sort of like feeling it, like feeling when it speeds up and slows down. Some of my favorite filmmakers are musicians. You know, it never surprises me when I fall in love with someone else's wedding film or some type of film and then learn that whoever had a big part in making that is also a musician, because I think that there's so many similarities between those two crafts.
I buy that. I mean, kind of making it fluid as a total amateur in the video department, I would totally agree with you that that's the hardest part, is making it kind of flow and like keep some sort of rhythm, but still stay exciting and, you know, make it interesting.
And my favorite music is, like, I think even when it comes to storytelling, I'm not so much about the facts as I am about the emotion, about the feeling. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of the same way with music. I like, I'm not really a big like lyrics person. Mm-hmm. I don't open it and like really read the lyrics. It's more about the feeling I'm getting, the emotion from a song.
Yeah.
which played out early in Wedding Career, that I would pick songs for my films that had nothing to do with love or anything, but it was the emotion in the music that really inspired me to make the film, instead of picking some canned, you know, song that's about love and has a ukulele or something really corny. It was all about the feeling. So I'm always like seeking that same feeling when I'm listening or playing music that I am when I'm crafting a film. You know, it's more in the gut and just sort of like a response of my personality and less about facts, you know, and storytelling.
Like, like, does it jibe with what I'm telling at this point in the movie or in the film, I guess you would call it?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I love, I think there's just so many parallels too. You know, music I like equals a whole, like equals one. I sort of explained it. Like I really like bands, you know, if there's four people in the band, they're each like should be playing like 25% so to equal like one. So there's always that balance. So music I don't like are, you know, just if there's even people who are really amazing musicians, but they're overplay. And so you get this, you bleed over a whole, over one, there's too much. And I'm constantly trying to find that balance in film, whether it's like music and imagery, like that balance. If the music's sort of chaotic, maybe you slow down your edits, or if the music's really slow, maybe it's opportunity to speed up your edits, and kind of always like seeking that balance between the two.
That's interesting. I've always looked at that balance as like contrast. Like I've always thought of it as like, you know, if in an image, basically, if something is light, add darkness, make that. But that's, I like your analogy there of making it like complete rather than, you know, contrasting each other.
And sometimes there's lots of opportunity to parallel, you know, when picking a song or something for a film, if the music, like letting music dictate the edit, if it speeds up, sometimes it's okay to speed up. And I think that's the, coming back to the music thing, when you play music, you know, it's knowing that, okay, now is the time for all of us to speed up because here's the emotion that's happening, or, you know, now's the time for this person to really slow down so this person can speed up. And it's kind of, you know, something that I'm sure someone who studied music, I didn't actually study music, you know, it was kind of, I was just self-taught and just played in my basement a ton as a kid, just by myself with headphones on, and kind of same with filmmaking, just sort of self-taught. So I'm sure someone much smarter than me could explain, like on paper with music, there's probably some name for that theory. But for me, it's more just, yeah, chasing an emotion, I guess.
Yeah. So you've never really tried to be like, what do I do? How do I, you know, like break it down? You just like go with your gut, sounds like.
Yeah. Which is a challenge now that I've gotten a little bit into education on wedding films, being able to communicate what I do. Because early on I was like, I don't know, I just do it. It just is what I feel. But to be able to communicate that to someone teaches me a lot about myself, and I have to pause and sort of like really think to communicate why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Because when someone's like, okay, and if your gut is not telling you what to do, then what? And you're like, well,
yeah,
changed profession.
Yeah, right. Totally. Yeah.
That must be hard. Sometimes there's no formula. You just kind of go with what you're.
Yeah. And I think it's the artist thing that sometimes if you're not getting that, people start paying you and you start being a professional and someone pays you to make a wedding film and just not feeling it in your gut, but you have to deliver. And so that's constantly a challenge that I'm up against as well.
Yeah. Well, you had written in the the little bio that I read on the Way Up North website, something about let me see if I can get the quote. Felt true meaning and emotion, even if it meant going against the tide of the wedding industry and the status quo for wedding cinematography. Doing wedding films to take large risks of potential failure. And it made me wonder, like, have you ever felt like, ooh, that totally bombed?
Yeah. Yeah, multiple times, you know, but I guess it's perspective on, like, did it bomb because, like, from my perspective or from a client's perspective, because there have been times where I'm just so unhappy. I have a hard time watching my films when I'm done with them because I'm my own worst critic. And, you know, sometimes I'll think something's the worst, but you know, I feel a little bit with wedding films in particular, because that's what I know I can speak to, that it's kind of creative softball. Like, I have a wedding video that my brother-in-law shot, and it's horrible by all like technical standards. And he gave it to me as a gift, me and my wife, for a Christmas gift. And he made us watch it in front of him. And I was a little worried that I wasn't going to like it. And I bawled my eyes out. And I think that there's something to be said, like, it's pretty easy to manipulate someone's emotions, especially with something that's such a emotionally intense day, like a wedding. And then you add music to it, and it's kind of easy. So even if I can technically just really fail and hate a film, most likely if I've treated their memories with respect, like, they're going to like it.
So what would be an example of you, like, failing with a film? What does that look like?
Failing with a film.
Like, you're like, oh my God, I happen to put like a Disney soundtrack on this and it didn't work. I mean, like, what?
There's at all different phases of the creative process are different, like, levels of failure. I've had so many times where gear failure, for one, it's really important for me to record audio. And when an audio recorder fails, I don't really have a story to tell when I don't have that content. And weddings it's documentary filmmaking. And so it's not like you can redo it. Like, hold on, let's do this ceremony again. So you have to be on top of it. So yeah, plenty of times. I remember my first elopement I ever shot. And I thought it was a big wedding planner. It was her elopement. Like, she was getting married. And I thought, this is it. This is, like, I'm going to do her wedding. I had only done one or two films at that time, but really only had one public. And, you know, I was just really pumped. Like, I'm going to do this amazing. She's going to love it. She's going to sell me to all her clients. This is my, like, entry into shooting bigger, better, higher budget weddings. And to make a long story short, everything failed. A camera froze in the middle of the ceremony. The audio recorder didn't work. Everything went wrong. And they were eloping, so the whole point of having a film was to kind of take it back home and have a big party and show their family and friends. So that was rough, and I managed the following day to get them to, like, re-record their vows, so I had something to kind of piece together. But yeah, my, like, stomach's hurting just even, like, remembering how I felt when that happened.
The anguish.
Because it's like, it's such an important thing that we're doing. And, you know, I think even, you know, photographers, we've all had some sense of, you know, card failure or losing camera or sort of stolen camera equipment on a wedding day or something. And just that feeling is just horrible, but it just kind of teaches you the next time how to manage that and how to have backups of backups of backups. So,
What's it called? Hard drive failure, where you're just like, come on, show up on the desktop. And you're like, where are you?
That's it.
So just a quick question about that wedding planner then. Did she realize that everything had gone wrong, or were you able to piece stuff together enough that it just seemed like you weren't at the top of your game?
Yeah, so it was just a really awkward situation because, you know, I was new. I was so green at that point. And I'm sure she knew it because I was hardly charging anything. And she's a really well-established planner. And so she knew when I sent her my pricing. She's like, oh, this guy's new. And I had to stay in a house with them. So I couldn't escape. All I wanted to do was escape. I wanted to run away and scream and just, like, bury my head in the sand. But I had to sleep in the house that they were staying at. And she was going to make us all breakfast the next morning before we left. So I didn't sleep at all that night. And the next morning I ended up asking her, you know, kind of like just shaking. My hands were just shaking and telling her, like, listen, the audio recorder failed. I was wondering if I could get you guys just to re-record your vows into this audio recorder. And she was so kind about it. She was really gracious and generous, which was good. And so yeah, I pieced together a little film, and that film booked me other films. And yeah, it wasn't a total failure, I guess, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Your fail.
Well, cause it did lead to other things, but yeah, no, I get it. I mean, it's hard to look through old stuff because you're just like, oh my God,
yeah.
I've moved on.
I've had some failures too as I've tried to grow my brand and define, like, who my client is, because for a long time my client was me, because I picked the music that I wanted, and I clearly stated that in my contracts. Like, if you're hiring, you know, Valair, and you're hiring Tim, you're hiring me to do what I do, to be an artist, to pick the music, to see your day the way I see it. And I had, you know, the first few years, 100% success rate. Every film was just like hitting it out of the park. And I got inquiries from people who had the same music taste as me and loved the same bands that I loved. And my client was always me. And as I went through that journey of raising my prices and realizing how many hours I put into these films, there definitely was a turning point where my client wasn't me anymore.
Right.
And that was a really hard thing to navigate. Like, do I keep my prices lower and keep making films for me?
Yeah.
Or I put my prices higher and make films that aren't for me anymore. I feel like I'm still navigating that every day. And there was a particular time, a particular film where I was in the middle of a rebrand and kind of adjusting my vision and my message and who I was as a wedding film brand. And there was a client that had a large budget. It was like my biggest budget at the time. And so I thought, okay, this is someone who can afford to pay me appropriately for my time. But they loved my work. They mentioned films on my website. We love this. We love this. And so I really thought, okay, here's the perfect client. They have pockets, you know, deep enough to help pay, because there's a lot of hours that go into these wedding films, but they get the art and creativity. I can still be me and get a paycheck.
Perfect
and
client.
She hated her film. She hated it. And it was the only time that's ever happened. And it was such a learning experience to go through that and to go through, like, wow, okay, maybe sometimes people who are hiring me at this level are, you know, they're not me anymore. And so how do I balance that?
So in that case, since you're doing film, you could always re-edit it, do a total re-edit. It could look completely different, right? It's not like with stills that you're kind of like, well, what you have is to work with is what you have.
Yeah, definitely. And what they particularly hated was the music and my music choice, and asked me if I could change the music. And that, I mean, that's starting at square one. If you change the music, you're changing the whole edit. You kind of have to start over, and it's hours and hours of work. So it kind of clearly states in my contract that there'll be a charge for editing revisions. And anyways, I went through that journey with them, and I really wanted to make them happy. I'm a people pleaser. I don't like when people are unhappy with me. And so I probably worked way more than I should on that, but I made, you know, I just told her to pick some music, and I made a film to it, and she let me keep the original that I cut, that I was very proud of, on my site for my own marketing. And then she had hers with her really horrible music. And I wouldn't do that every time, but I don't get people complaining like that all the time.
Yeah. But you made her happy. I mean, she, in the end, she loved it.
In the end, she loved it, and I hated it.
Oh, that's hard. Yeah, that's rough.
But yeah, that was just a balance, and it taught me so much. Like, okay, if this is a real business, you know, not everyone who's going to hire me is me.
Right.
And so
I bet a lot of people have gone through that journey that you're talking about, because that's how most people probably get into it, is that you're kind of at that age and people around you are, you know, getting married. And like you said, it's a bit of a, like, you're like going up the rungs of a ladder, sort of.
Yeah. And I would never pay what I charge for a wedding film. You know, I think I'm in a place now where my cost is more than my wife and I spent on our whole wedding. So,
yeah,
you know, it was kind of that, am I going to make a career out of this and support my family, or just keep making art that I really love? So I still, you know, it's so important for me emotionally to have a few weddings on the calendar throughout the year that are just purely for art's sake. You know, maybe there's not even a budget involved. It's just get me to your wedding. And I know that it's the right, I click with the couple and we've met Skyped or something. And I know that I can put a lot of creative energy into it. And I think without those weddings, and those are the ones that end up on my website and end up, you know, in my reel and my portfolio, yeah, are the ones, it's different for me. I think being a wedding filmmaker, I don't need the quantity of work that I think photographers do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good at social media, and I've just learned to, like, I don't get a lot of business from social media.
Yeah.
I get business from relationships. And so, you know, where a photographer might need to keep a social media feed going with new fresh work, if I can really focus on really just nailing it and having, you know, 4, maybe 5 really fresh wedding films in a year that I really love, and then maybe another 10, maybe 15 if it's a busy year that are still proud of, but are more, you know, let's say one, you know, one for the reel, one for the meal. You know, I need to make sure I have a few for the reel throughout the year, as well as ones for the meal.
For the meal. That's, I like that. That's nice. But yeah, I sometimes less is more, you know, in terms of like, hey, you go to someone's website, even in normal, like, you know, still photography. I feel like sometimes if there's just too much going on, you're like, okay, you know, sometimes like 10 powerful images will say more than 10,000, you know, really good images.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's probably a way to just be kind of a strong in your brand too. And just once you kind of get that buzz going and word of mouth and that starts to spread, you don't need the quantity as much.
And I wanted to be a brand that was quality over quantity. It, just practically too. I mean, I'll put 40 to 50 hours of post-production into a single wedding film. And so it's just impossible to take on, you know, between travel and trying to have a work-life balance. It was just impossible to take on as many as I did the first few years and continue that level of engagement in the creative process. That is what I think people were hiring me for. It's what they felt when they saw those early films, was a lot of attention to detail. Even taking, you know, taking 2-3 full work days just to find one song for a couple, you know, it's just a lot of work. So,
and what, how do you find the music? Is it, I mean, in terms of, you know, copyright and all that stuff, how do you?
Yeah, that's, you know, that's such a hot topic among wedding filmmakers these days. And I used to use whatever I wanted, and I thought that, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to use whatever I wanted. And there were a few lawsuits that hit kind of close to home. Not me necessarily, but just seeing other wedding filmmakers who I know dealing with legal issues because of the music that they picked. So I decided last year was my first full year that every song is licensed. And what was hard early on about that was it was so expensive to get the good music and the affordable stuff for the wedding budgets that most wedding filmmakers are working with. It was just tiny libraries of the same type of bad music. And I think with my background in music, music's so important to me. It'll make or break a film. And so there are better libraries now, and there's a small handful of websites that are really growing and give you access to new, fresh, different types of music for a nominal fee. So it's gotten better in the last year, but I decided that it was time, you know, kind of drew a line in the sand and said, even though this is going to be harder, it's harder for me to find good music now. Yeah. And I would say there have been a few times where the product has suffered because here's, on one hand, this song that just, again, the feel, I get a feeling, I'm like, this song is so perfect for this couple. But if I cut this film and I put it online, I could get in trouble. And if it's on my website, it's constituted as marketing, and so they can come after you for marketing budget type of legal things, and it can be messy. So I don't know how long I could get away with it. And it's weird too, with a background in music, as I used to be a full-time musician, that for a while I was okay just using songs because I felt, you know, there were some videos that were getting viral and getting a lot of plays online. I always got questions, what song is that? And people would go buy it. And there was a part of me that felt like, hey, I'm like helping the artist here. Why would their legal team turn around and sue me for using this? But yeah, I get that the films that I make are so influenced by the music. And so it really is important to value the people who made that music because they're a huge part in what the film ends up being. So I license all the music now and just kind of make sure that that's a non-negotiable thing in my creative process.
You seem like a pretty honest guy, straight shooter. where does your company name come from? How did you pronounce it?
Yeah, Valair. I think I say it really wrong, to be honest. Time I've spent in Europe and doing workshops, I get made fun of a lot. I think I say it very much like an American. It's a Latin word, and it actually means to cover. So it'd be like a veil on the face. And that sort of has a dual meaning of like to cover a story, you know, like a news story, you'd cover a story. So kind of thought it was a nice combination of those two things. And I think the technical pronunciation, which I feel so pretentious when I say it, is like Valara. But I say Valair, and it's really American, and I get made fun of a lot.
Because it does have kind of a meaning in Swedish, actually. Which I tried to like Google how to say in Swedish, we would say vialare, which is like a person who viala, and to viala is to, well, Google says dilly dally, which seems a little bit weird, which I wouldn't go with that, but someone who when you viala, it means you're going back and forth on something a lot. You're a person who,
okay
so like a vialare, like that exact spelling, is a person who, you know, these people who just can never really decide, do I want this or do I want that? I don't know. I indecisive. Man,
it sounds so much better when you say it. And here's the thing, that really describes me, because I'm a very indecisive person.
Really?
And maybe there's some sort of subconscious reason that means that, because I'm always back and forth. especially with the wedding business and my sort of path with that, I feel like I have a new change in direction almost daily. My team is always giving me a hard time because I'll have days where I'm like, I quit. I can't do wedding films anymore. This is too hard. This is too much work. And then the next day I come in and I'm like so inspired. I'm like, guys, I have this new idea. I want to do this thing. And I seem to not stay on one path for a very long time. So maybe.
Very appropriate. Maybe, then. Yeah.
But it does sound so much better when you say it than when I say it.
Well, I don't know about that. Vialara. It's, I just thought that was funny because every time I saw that, I was like, the indecisive Tim.
Yeah. Oh, man. The indecisive Tim. It's so true. When I was branding, you know, everyone was sort of doing like so-and-so wedding films, or like there was always kind of a tagline. And I was just really drawn to brands that were just kind of like one word. And I'm kind of a parallel with music too. My favorite band names, you know, it's like the name doesn't make the band sort of makes the name. And so it was kind of just like, it was like naming a band when you name a business, you know, it's like, what am I going to call this? And you worry about what people are going to think, but then you kind of just pick one thing. And just after a while, what you do sort of defines the name instead of vice versa. Yeah.
But that's nice. No, I like the name. No criticism at all. Just curious where it came from. And you spoke about having like a team now. Who are these team members?
These team members. Yeah, I have basically two guys who work with me full time. That's been another challenge. I started the brand kind of just solo, just doing kind of me. And I had so many inquiries that I could only take so much. And I started to see really amazing weddings kind of slip through the net because I was on a trip or busy doing something else. And the first time I actually ever did this was with Jonas Peterson, who's a good friend. And he refers me a lot, which is a huge blessing, but he had referred me to a wedding in Bali and I was already booked in Costa Rica. So I was kind of bummed and I said no. And about a month later, kind of the business wheels were turning and I was like, you know what? I think my films are really defined in post-production through editing. And I have these guys who've been second shooting for me a lot. Maybe I can send them to go shoot this wedding and I'll be at this other wedding in Costa Rica. And, you know, we can still take a great wedding, a portfolio wedding, and see how it goes. And yeah, there was a learning curve there. There were like, it really went amazing sometimes, and other times it did not go so well because I put so much of me into the films. Again, like I can't, it's hard for me to like communicate. Like, yeah. No, you need
you
to do it this
obvious
way.
Obvious that like, yeah.
Yeah. Why you weren't do, you right but... there right then? Why didn't you do this? Yeah. So, some swings and some misses and some home runs. And so it's been a few years of just journeying on that process and, the ups and downs of that. And so I really enjoy collaboration and I love teamwork and it gets really lonely doing this all by myself. And so, yeah, I have a couple of guys who consistently travel with me for weddings and help in post-production. And sometimes they take their own weddings now and,
Yeah, sorry, I didn't.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Do you enjoy the leadership role in that?
Very much so. I really do. And I really have enjoyed putting a different hat on sometimes when I can kind of coach someone through a film. So I do. I very much enjoy that. Again, it's hard because sometimes you just want to take the reins and just do it yourself. It's hard to delegate and let go of control, knowing that sometimes they're going to crash and burn. And I guess there's probably so many parallels with that with parenting. You don't want to let your kid venture out on their own, but they're going to have some failures, but that's how they're going to learn and get even better. I had so many failures in wedding films, and I think it helped me get to where I am today.
So
But
what
yeah,
kind
but it's, oh, go ahead.
of yeah, so what kind of I mean, what kind of boss would you say that you are?
Oh man, it's so funny
Well, no,
because I think
instead of answering that, what would they say, these guys that you collaborate with?
I'm really picky and really particular, and I think that I thought I was just a real nice, easygoing guy, and then I started collaborating creatively, and I realized that I'm very opinionated. And so I've had to learn how to balance that and not just be like, no, don't do that. Do this. And
Funny.
yeah, I was on some shoot and someone had asked my brother-in-law happened to be, he was visiting. So he wanted to come on set. This is actually a commercial thing. I do some commercial work, but he had asked one of my assistant editors what kind of boss I was. And he kind of got that the response, like good boss, but very particular. And I was like, oh man.
Which is not necessarily bad.
Yeah, I like what I like, I know what I like and I know what I don't like, and I guess I can be kind of snobbish that way, but I think that's what's helped in wedding films. When I started making wedding films, I did not like 99% of what I saw. And so I thought, I'm just gonna make what I like. And the first wedding film that I did for free for a friend, I kind of just made something I liked, and it wasn't like any type of wedding film that I had ever seen. And that sort of got picked up online and kind of went viral and sort of started my business without really knowing that I was about to start a wedding film business.
Yeah.
Because I just in particular, I guess.
That's what's going on. But now do you feel like you're more conscientious of where you're headed? It sounds like, so you're married now. Do you have kids too?
I
Or
do, yep.
you do?
I have 2 kids. I have a 3-year-old daughter and a 7-month-old daughter.
Wow.
I love being a dad to girls. It's the best. But yeah, I think I think it's been the turning 30 and having 2 kids now that it is more of a long term.
Yeah.
What am I doing? And I think the wedding industry is an industry based on trends, and nobody wants the 50-year-old guy at their wedding making their wedding film. What am I doing with this? And so shifting my gears a little bit to focusing on training up some younger guys and trying to grow a brand that makes high quality wedding films instead of just me. So yeah,
That's
that's
kind of
kind of
cool,
definitely
building
been
like a conglomerate. No, I don't even know what that really means, conglomerate, but just an empire.
Yes, the wedding film empire.
So when
That's
you
my
are
goal.
50, you'll be just like twirling a
Yeah.
mustache somewhere, just like
Yep. Sitting on my gold throne, watching all these wedding filmmakers do all the work
just
while I get
watching your
paid.
account info, just like the money just coming in. No. Which is like horrible for someone who gets into it for the cra I mean, 'cause you love the music and you love the
Yeah.
images. That's like probably not what you get excited about, the thought of like not doing the films anymore. You
No.
know, when someone's like, "Hey, I have a great business idea. You know, outsource everything and just, you know, and then like you'll just bank on it." And you're like, "But wait, then I'm not doing what I love."
Yes, it's super counterintuitive to me, and I don't get that sometimes. And I think some people that's really natural for them. It's still a journey. I'm still trying to figure out what that looks like. And like I said, every other day I'll come in the office and either be like really excited and have an idea of how we can like take good steps forward. And then other days I come in with my head hung low and just want to quit. And it's usually when I've been looking for a song for like a week for a film and I just can't find the right song, and I just throw my hands in the air and I say it's time to quit.
Yeah, that's it. This song broke me. This film broke me.
Yeah.
Do you ever look at your girls like just in real life and like kind of imagine that it is a film going on? Like do you have that like kind of weird professional
yeah,
thing
yeah.
Just like...
I think the only time in real life when I think it's a film is usually comic situations. Yeah. I love jump cuts in like comedy where it like someone will say something and then it'll jump ahead like to the next day or like to something they said. And so that always happens to me. Someone will say something and I'll just imagine what that would look like in a film when it just jumps to the scenario they're talking about. I don't know if that makes sense, but with my girls, no, I guess...
I mean,
yeah.
Do you film them a lot, or do you do any of what you do professionally, like on
mm-hmm,
private?
I don't.
No. Really?
Yeah, you know, I'm not. I like to compartmentalize things, I think, and like my work is my work, and it doesn't define me. It doesn't define who I am. You know, if I died in a plane crash on my way to or from Rome to Way Up North, like I don't think they would put on my tombstone like Tim Twynham, what a great wedding filmmaker.
Oh my god, what do you say? take would you have to say something to not make that happen, god forbid, or what do people
oh
say?
Yeah, knock on wood,
knock on wood,
my,
yeah.
horrible
yeah,
but I don't want my work to define me. And so when we had my first daughter, I really wanted to make a film. But I felt like at the time I was shooting on Canon cameras, and I think I just got the Mark III at the time. To shoot with it when my daughter's being born just felt like work to me, like having that camera in my hand.
Yeah.
And so I actually shot Super 8 old film of my daughter being born, and it just felt more like is like me space. Uh-huh. It was kind of like protecting that for me and my daughter and my family, and like this isn't work for me.
Yeah.
I genuinely love what I do. But again, it's not me. There's a time where, you know, the clock hits and I can turn the computers off and go home and express myself creatively with my daughters, like in painting or playing. My daughter has a drum set, my 3-year-old, and just bangs on it, but she loves, and I love that. And to me, that now being in a rhythm of a career that's doing something creative, it's not my creative outlet.
Yeah.
And so, at times there definitely are those magic, those like really happy moments where you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this person paid me to make this, like whether it's a wedding or a commercial film. And those moments are really great, but at the end of the day, it's a job and a paycheck.
They're
and so
fleeting.
How,
yeah.
What am I doing? So yeah, I feel the camera I use most often with my daughters and is my phone, and I
yeah.
record a ton of video on it. I like having video of them. It's fun to watch, but it just would feel too much like work.
Yeah.
If I had my work cameras in my hand.
So what's your, like, what do your weeks look like then? I bet you're traveling a lot for the weekends then, assuming that weddings are on the weekend.
Yeah. I've tried to slow that down. I travel less. After, you know, especially after having my sixth daughter. No, I do not have a sixth daughter. My second daughter.
Can we cut forward to, like, now? What did you call that, a
see,
jump?
That's exactly it. You totally did it. That is the perfect moment to do
then,
that.
Like
jump
like,
cut.
Sixth
to,
baby.
Like, Tim, like, even less hair than I have now. Bloodshot eyes and like six girls screaming around me.
Yeah,
yeah,
like
totally.
The sixth newborn
you get,
in
you
your
get
arms.
It. So you'd be a good video editor for a sitcom.
Can I, if I could just do like a one-on-one session with you, that would be awesome.
I've really tried to slow down the travel with our first. It was really hard. I don't like being gone from her, and it's hard. It's really hard. And
yeah.
This last, I was at a speaking at a conference in Brooklyn this last fall, and my daughter was almost, I guess, like 2.5 at that point. And I FaceTimed with her, and she was just crying. She just missed daddy, and it just like rips my heart in half. Wow. And you know, at the end of the day, I'm like, what's more important, like my career aspirations or my daughters, and being a dad to them that's present and that's in their life? And so that's really important to me. So. I'll get all emotional talking about it. But
that's okay.
But yeah, so for me, it's really trying to travel less.
Yeah.
And it's hard because I do think that this career, this industry really value, like there's a lot of value in destination weddings. And,
yeah.
and I've done that. I've shot weddings all over. And at the end of the day, it's like, man, because when I choose the wedding too, I'll shoot for like 3 days. It's not just a 1 day thing for me because getting scenery is so important.
Yeah, I noticed
for
that.
Films and you know, yeah. time lapses and things. So I'll spend 3, sometimes 4 days in a country like filming and, you know, maybe an extra day on the front end to kick jet lag and maybe 1 day on the back end to be a tourist a little bit to sort of enjoy some benefit of traveling across the world. But so to go shoot a wedding for me is a week. I'm going to be gone for one wedding film. And so they got to be a point where it was like, this is too much. And
yeah.
so just trying to find, I have the travel bug. I love to travel. If I had a calendar year ahead of me with no, like destination weddings or no trips, it would be probably a little bit depressing because I really do enjoy it. But I have, for me, my priorities have changed a little bit. So that means even trying to get more weddings in my home state, I kind of crossed a point. My portfolio is all destination. And it was actually really hard to even book weddings in Colorado because I hadn't built relationships here with planners, photographers. And I wasn't even hardly shooting in Colorado anymore. So trying to do some at home where I can go up for one night or two nights and come back, or even do something in Denver, you know, where I live, so I can go home and sleep in my own bed at night.
Nice.
And wake up the next morning and play with my daughter. So yeah, still striving to find that balance. And that's again, what all affected me coming in to work and being like, guys, I quit. Or guys, here's this new idea. Let's do this. You know,
and I'm such like, a,
how
did
you
like
say that?
Back, like,
I'm totally that person. Say
yeah.
that how in Swedish?
Vialara.
Yeah. Yeah. That's me. Cause
that's
I'm like, no, I got to go travel more and build my portfolio. And I'm like, no, I have to stop. I need to hang out with my daughters. And,
yeah. Well,
yeah.
I totally get that. I mean, there, and I have a 3-year-old daughter too. I had, and two
oh,
sons,
awesome.
But that age is just, they can just, you know, we're like wrapped around their little finger because they just want to, what things that they say are just, I mean, heart wrenching.
Yeah.
Like,
I know.
If they're like, but, you know, you see that look in their eye, like, are you leaving? And then
yeah.
you're just like, just, yeah, I am sorry.
Yeah.
I have to go. So what are your daughter's names?
My oldest is Frances. We
oh.
call her Francie. And my youngest is Mette, which is M-E-T-T-E. Yeah. It's
ah,
a,
that's beautiful.
A Danish name. So
is your wife Danish?
No, uh-uh. No.
No, no,
so we
no
just
Danish.
Like that. Yeah.
M-E-T-T-A.
T-T-E.
Oh, Mette. Yeah,
yeah.
we have that
yeah.
name. For us, it's kind of like a Norwegian name, Mette.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. And are you, do you ever bring them or like, would you bring them to something like Way Up North or is that?
Yeah. So it's funny when Jakob and Cole first asked me, the original kind of the way I thought it out was to bring them.
Yeah.
And I've had a couple trips with them, like domestically within the United States for weddings. And it is a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I'm not being a very good husband and a help because I'm working. And then I feel like I'm not being a great wedding filmmaker because
yeah.
I'm distracted to go like help. So we just decided this season of life is for me to go and work and do that and come home. But I really hope that as I get older, I would love to bring them. Oh my goodness. I want to teach them that the world is a big place full of really amazing, kind people. And, you know, with the political environment in the United States right now, I want my daughters to travel a lot. And so, yeah, it's the 7-month-old, he has a little bit of a challenge right now and the whole sleep department.
Yeah.
But I think real soon we really want to bring them along. And
yeah.
my wife and I used to, at destination weddings, she would come with me all the time before we had kids.
Oh, that's nice.
Just like such amazing memories of those trips.
I bet.
And, yeah. So we don't want to stop doing that because we're parents now, but practically, you know, it's a little bit of a challenge.
A little bit of a break. Flying
yeah.
with small kids. Yeah. Not the best activity ever. And
yeah.
how did you meet your wife? I'm just curious.
So it was in Nashville. I was a barista at a coffee shop and she was a customer. And I was like, hey, baby, how's it going?
You're like,
actually, that's not true. I wasn't that smooth at all. I'm not smooth with the ladies. I never was. It took me like 6 months to get up the courage to talk to her.
It did.
And then come to find out that whole 6 months, she was only coming in the coffee shop because I was working there. But neither of us were really good at, like, you know, going for it. So it took a while, but eventually it happened.
So sweet. And all that time you had been making her cappuccinos like extra frothy and she was like not catching the drift.
I was probably making them really bad because I was very distracted because she was in there. So I probably wasn't paying attention to what I was doing.
You're like,
and she was like, this guy's world's worst barista. This coffee tastes horrible.
And you're like, but she keeps coming back.
Yeah.
That's really sweet. You didn't even know what her name was, or were you just kind of like, oh.
No, I didn't. You know, eventually, like, slowly trying to, like, talk to her. And everyone I worked with knew that I liked her. So they kept encouraging me to talk to her.
Every time she came in, they're like, Tim, there she is.
Oh, they would make me, like, even if I was in the back doing something, they would make me, like, come out and make her drink. And
That is so cute.
They were in on it, but yeah, not the smoothest. But hey, I locked her down, and she is the best, and I do.
You locked love her my... down, that's for sure. And now she has no way of getting out. She's like there, yeah. Two little girls.
Yep.
Oh, what a good sport. Well, I can see you're quite the charmer, so I'm sure she got a good deal too. yeah, no, but this is so nice. I really enjoyed looking at your website actually, and
I'm gonna
try to not to like. I shouldn't even be saying this, but I'm super interested in trying to make some little like learning a little bit just for my own sake.
Oh yeah.
So I was like looking for some inspiration and I was like, this is so cool. I loved how you could just like I don't know. It's a totally different way of thinking, the way you film things like details or things that like would kind of not have anything to do with the wedding, but that you tie in somehow. I mean, that's super interesting. So
Yeah, it's fun. Like I said, I love the editing. I love shooting. Always stresses me out a bit. Like I've had to. I wasn't that great at it when I started. I was definitely more creative in editing, but because I've done so much of it now over the years, like I feel like I've really learned how I like things shot. So that when I sit at a computer to edit, then I have a toolbox full of lots of tools to choose from.
Right. You can be like, I need something slow, or I need something kind of panning, or is that how you think when you're filming?
Yeah, like, totally. Yeah. You know, it's like doing an audio edit first and then sort of piecing together the story on top of that. Yes. I mean, all that is to say with you saying that you're interested, that I love it. I think there's something fun. I love still images. I love taking photos. But there is that like creative sort of process of like the moving images. It's just such a different dynamic when you have to think of moving images. Like, is the subject moving? Is the camera moving? And then you have the whole other level that is audio, and that's just a whole nother craft in and of itself.
I think, which is why I'll probably never do it, because I just how do you ever master that? But it like does suck you in a different way than with stills, because with stills you're still kind of stop and then changing, and with film you're like you're sucked into it, and you're kind of like. If something is good, you get sucked in and then you just come out on the other side and you're like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. They say with audio is kind of like breaking the fourth wall. So you have the four walls of an image or a movie screen or whatever. With audio, you break that fourth wall into sort of a different dimension of someone's sensory and the way they're, you can say so much with audio that you don't have to say visually. So, you know, for me, editing is always like taking out things because I don't have to show everything in order for the viewer. People are smart, and so they'll get what I'm trying to say in less images.
Yeah.
Especially when there's the audio to sort of support that. So
yeah. I get that. That's so cool. Well, this was such a pleasure.
You're
so
this
easy
is awesome.
To talk to.
Oh, jeez. Thanks.
So let's see. It's Tuesday. What do you have planned for the rest of the day now?
Tuesday, 3 p.m. Hanging out with my girls.
Yeah.
We are, thinking of going on a little bike ride. It's been really cold because it's winter. Today is actually a nice day. So
nice.
I think we're going to bust the bikes out. And my 3-year-old is loving her bike right now. So
Is it like one of those without pedals?
Yeah. Yeah, she kind of like walks on the ground. Yeah. Strider. She loves it. So
that's so cool.
Yeah.
Colorado's beautiful, so I bet you have lots of places to pick from.
We love it. That's why we moved back here after living in the South in Nashville. It's very hot and humid, and Colorado's beautiful and crisp, and we're pretty close to the mountains. And
gorgeous. Yeah,
it's good.
And so you're trying to bury your heads in the sand for the political situation. I won't go into it, but I just know that I've
you're been. You're not going to ask me who I voted for?
No, I won't ask. But I know
it's,
that.
Yeah, it's a mess, and it's an interesting time to be an American, and it's very sad because I have friends all over the world, and it's very unfortunate how our country is perceived by people right now, and it's just constantly trying to. Like tell people like not everyone is like this in America.
Like, that nice point, like okay, when Trump was elected, I think people were like, "Oh my God, Americans! You know, what have you done?" And then now, it's pretty clear that not everyone thinks that way. I mean, it's very clear. If you have any idea of what's going on, you know, you can't not see all the protesters and all that's going on. So don't worry about that. We get it.
Yeah, that's good. And my wife and I, and we talk about it a lot with our girls. Like I said, we want to travel. We want them to see that the world is a big place full of amazing people. But even like in our neighborhood, we're like, okay, for a long time, you said we weren't going to talk politics, but for a long time, you know, it's able to like agree with what your country stands for and just kind of be passive about engaging with people who are different than you. And for now is the time to sort of, No. I need to engage with people who are different than me and love people who are different than me. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's really important because the tables are kind of turned against me already. And so I have to be a little more active. And so, yeah, we're seeking ways of just being good citizens and loving people on the street that we live in and in our state. And
yeah. And your girls only care what you do so far. I mean, at this point, you're still like just there. Whatever, everything you do is really important. So that's good. Being a good role model.
We took my oldest when she was just about one. I had a wedding in New York and we brought her, and it was a bit crazy to bring a 1-year old to New York City. But we were walking around and she smiles at everyone. She's that kind of kid who will like stare at someone until they look at her. And it was just fun to see like grumpy New Yorkers on the subway with their headphones in, like kind of glance at her and then just get big, huge grins on their face.
Yeah, like, so how like could you not smile?
it's like inherent in them to just love people, and we're like, yes, keep loving people, please.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I'm sure they're just gorgeous human beings, both of them. So, awesome. Well, give them my best and have a great day, and hopefully
thank you.
We'll catch up in Rome in a few weeks.
Yes. Yeah, thanks for chatting. I hope I had something to say.
Yeah, you certainly did. No, this was fun. It just flew by. An hour flew by.
Zip by. So,
yeah. All right. Thanks again.
Well, thank you. Yeah, talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.